This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And now the question, is there still value in tracking our movements through My Sejahtera? Now, I want to be clear, it's not us raising it. Instead, it's something that's come through by way of UMNO Deputy President Dato Sri Mahmud Hassan, who said that the government needs to explain the rationale for maintaining tracking information through the application beyond April 1st, which, as you may remember, is the day of endemicity, or, you know, that point at which we are transitioning towards the endemic stage. For what it's worth, the Health Minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, has said the government has no plans to discontinue the check-in feature.
Yes, so a lot of this comes back to the question of privacy and tracking, right? So the Deputy Minister did say that the government would need to engage all stakeholders, including the public, if the app is going to be used for purposes other than managing the pandemic, because those are some suggestions that have come up. Bandar Kuching MP Kelvin Yee also urged the government to discontinue the check-in function and suggested that instead the app be converted to a green pass system, where their status will inform you if you can travel, whether you need to quarantine, and so on. And so it's more to record your status rather than to be able to track where you checked in and so on. So there are a number of people who are pointing out that perhaps the tracking function is no longer going to be of use, which brings us back to the question, is it something that we want to see continue? Do we need to?
And that's what we're going to be exploring now. So let us know what you think. What would you like to see done in terms of My Sejahtera and its tracing and check-in function? That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this is Associate Professor Dr. Farhan Rusli, Public Health Medicine Specialist and Director of the Selangor Task Force for COVID-19's operation. Dr. Farhan, thanks for speaking with us today.
Hi.
Hi. So there's a lot of contrasting views on, you know, whether or not we should continue with My Sejahtera, especially with the loosening of restrictions. What do you make of the differing opinions?
Well, I think it's fair on both sides. I'm sure on the health ministry side, they want to be overly cautious about things. They want to approach things in a slower manner. While on the other side of the fence, they're looking at, oh, what's the need? So I think to break it down and to make it easy for, I think, the public to understand is to try to see what was the main purpose of the My Sejahtera checking in. And number one, it's meant to be as a contact tracing mechanism. So definitely when you check in, it'll be easier for you to trace people who are your close contacts and that somebody who's positive and all these things. But that brings us to the big issue here. Since we have revamped or reformed the way we have done our quarantine rules as we move towards this so-called transition of endemicity, where you no longer need to quarantine if you're a close contact, you only test yourself when you are actually having any sort of symptoms. So there lies the question that you should ask. What value does checking in serve anymore? So if everybody is a close contact, but nobody in the shop is, symptomatic, definitely nobody needs to be quarantined in the first place. Nobody is going to get tested because that's what the policy entails. So when that is the cause, or that is that's the outcome of it, you no longer need to actually check in because it serves no epidemiological value. There is no value in terms of public health contact tracing anymore because you are not going to trace anyone. Because everyone who's a close contact does not need to be quarantined. So why would you want to know where everybody has went when you're not going to do anything about the data that you have, right? So that's where I think we have to come to terms and we have to call a spade. So right now, My Sejahtera is as good as useless, which brings us to the next question about the just recently announced vaccination protocols. So if you would allow me to continue, that now for those who are age 59 years old and above, even if they have not taken their boosters, and for those who have not taken their boosters with Sinovac and Sinopharm, they are actually allowed to enter shopping malls. They are allowed to dine in. They are allowed to enter places of worship. So then you ask yourself this question. If that's the case, is booster mandated for these groups or not? So this is where I think it's very critical. We are at a very critical juncture. We need to be able to still stick to the evidence and the science of policy making rather than making it into something that's populist because of certain things that have popped up and making things so that people are happy, But if we go down this road, we may be suffering and we may actually be damaging our public healthcare infrastructure in the future.
Is contact tracing still a crucial component when it comes to keeping COVID-19 under control? Will it still be necessary as we transition to this endemic phase?
Well, you see, the thing is, you don't need COVID-19 to be able to actually ascertain whether contact tracing is important or not. Contact tracing, regardless whether COVID-19 is here, needs to be part of our public healthcare response, because we have so many other diseases outside. We have TB. Even TB right now, we have very ultimately poor contact tracing protocols in place because we don't have the infrastructure already done. We are still using pen and paper. So regardless whether COVID-19 is transitioning to an endemic, whether we actually have new variants popping up, what we should be able to realize is that what the pandemic has shown us is that we do not have a good public healthcare infrastructure. We do not have good public healthcare responses, and we do not have good digitalization of public health. So what is important for us to draw here is that contact tracing, regardless whether we want to use it on 1st of April or 1st of June or 1st of December when new variants pop up, anything like that, that system itself needs to be ready and should be able to be activated at any time when necessary. So I think that is the key question.
As a whole, right, if we look at it from start to finish, what are your thoughts on how we've come to depend on the single app, MySejahtera, for managing the pandemic?
Well, I think I've said this before. A lot of times we've heard people say you should not put your eggs into one basket. I will repeat myself again. We only have one egg and we only have one basket. And the basket itself right now is extremely fragile. It looks like it's a very, very soft cotton net that can break at any time. So I think what's important here to note is this, right? A lot of things need to be looked at from the early on. We should not be looking at or judging the ministry as what it is now because of what are the revelations that come to light. I think we have to address the elephant in the room. And all of this stem from the early on when we were in the early phase of the pandemic, where a lot of decisions were made during the emergency and a lot of things were overlooked. So we had no parliamentary oversight. We had people who could not ask questions. And herein lies this problem. When we develop policy, it needs to be extremely examined by all parties involved to ensure that a debacle such as this does not happen again. And one more thing that we need to draw, regardless of what has been said by the minister, the bottom line is, if the government is not the owner of the MySejahtera app, how can the government be the owner of the data that's been given in MySejahtera? I mean, you need to own something to have some sort of access to it. And I think this is where we need to address the issue. I think we have to be extremely transparent. And it shows that the Ministry of Health now needs to ensure that they have to pump in a lot of money to make sure that they themselves develop their own application in-house, their own EMR in-house, and not fall into these traps of CSR and pay me back later kind of problems, to ensure that in the future, because believe me, there will be new variants, there will be new outbreaks, we do not want to be trapped into this thing where should we trust the system or not? Rather, we should be building and be more resilient in actually facing the next pandemic.
If there's a larger value in keeping contact tracing, do you see that being done through MySejahtera or other ways that we can think about?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, MySejahtera has always been an over-glorified QR code scanner in the first place. And I think what's important for us to note is that contact tracing is beyond just using cell phones. We have to address issues that are actually very close to home. What I'm trying to say is that we have a lot of places in the country, even in Peninsular Malaysia, which still have lack of internet access. We still have problems in actually accessing data. We have a lot of people without smartphones, even though we have high smartphone penetrations and all these things. So we have to look at contact tracing as a whole picture rather than depending on just a single app. Is MySejahtera going to be helpful or has it been helpful? Well, I think I'm going to let the dogs up to actually evaluate that, because honestly speaking, we have not been able to actually assess or analyze the data that has actually been collected through MySejahtera, because we would like to actually know how many people who has actually been, I guess, found on MySejahtera to be positive. How many of those people have been notified as close contact? How many of them have actually been followed up? So we need to know the turnaround rate so that we'll be able to determine the effectiveness of the application itself. But what I'm trying to tell you is that there were so many loopholes, even using the books to sign in at shops and having those sort of flip-flops policy changes. So if you sign in the book, you're not going to be traced. If you don't sign in the book, you're not going to know if shops don't enforce it. So there's a lot of things, Shamala. You have to look at it as a whole picture. But MySejahtera, has it been helpful? Up to a certain extent. So we have to give credit where credit is due. But has it served the same purpose of contact tracing and all these things? Does it have a bigger role to play in our pandemic? I don't think so. Because even from the get-go, the build-up of the contact tracing in MySejahtera was not really on a very solid foundation to begin with.
So I suppose the question then is, as we transition on April 1st, right, what kind of system would work, considering the SOPs that are going to be in place in that period?
Well, it seems like the government has kind of like moved on from COVID, I guess. I think it's fair because I think a lot of issues such as economic fallout and all these things need to be addressed. Well, I think we should take this time when we have this window period, because if you ask me from a public health perspective, even all of us who are fully vaccinated or boosted, we don't even know how long that's going to last. 9 months, 1 year, 1.5 years. We don't know how much time we actually have. And if there is a new variant that comes in when we open up the borders, BA2 and all these other things, I'll be prepared for that. So if we have this buffer, we should invest heavily to ensure that we have a system that is robust. We know what we need to find out. We know what we need to track and we know what we need to trace. So we can build it, and we should build it in-house right now. We should not be depending on things which are, I guess, quite muddy, not knowing who is actually the owner. Is it owned by Singapore? Is the data here? I know it's stored in the cloud, but where is it in the cloud? Do we actually have physical data centers in the country? Because EMR records should not be left out and be brought out of the country. There's so many things that actually needs to be addressed. And it's really sad because if you looked at the recently announced supplementary budget, which was about, 3.7, 3.8 billion plus for the health ministry, you would see that a lot of it was spent on consumables. So even at this juncture, we are still not spending enough. And we need a new reform. We need a complete reset of the public healthcare system. And I think this is the best time. I'm not trying to point fingers because we've had a lot of, I guess, instability for the past 3 or 4 years with multiple changing of the guards. And we're not going to blame one person or the other, or it's that person's fault or that person's fault. But rather right now, as a country, where do we move from here? And I think that is the pertinent question that we have to pose to the health minister. What would he like to do right now? And what would he like to change and actually that will actually benefit the country as a whole?
We have about 2 minutes left. Did MySejahtera teach us anything about digitizing healthcare?
Well, it taught us that a lot of things need to be digitized. It taught us that PDPA is not something where you just scroll down and just tick and click, I agree. It taught us that we need to have proper laws, especially when we talk about a new kind of healthcare reform. And I think it's a blessing in disguise for me, because right now the records that we have of it is just probably our vaccination status, our whether PCR is positive or not. And we should learn from this that it's not as easy as it looks. As we transition our healthcare system to digitalize, to be very digitalized, where our electronic medical records, where all your scans, your diagnoses, your medications, your blood types, all those things now, we need to ensure that there is enough laws in the country to ensure that these things are safe. And right now, we're not starting off well because we don't have the trust of the people. And as you know, in any form of government or in any form of policy, the trust of the people is key into ensuring whatever reform you're trying to impose actually achieves its intended targets and goals.
Dr. Farhan, thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you.
That was Associate Professor Dr. Farhan Rusli, Public Health Medicine Specialist and Director of the Selangor Task Force for COVID-19 Operation. We'd like to hear from you. We've been discussing MySejahtera and the call that's growing a little bit louder, actually, about whether or not MySejahtera should continue serving that check-in tracking function. If you'd like to weigh in, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. You've been listening to Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.